this last day of July, the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as is our custom on Monday, we take a look at the readings for the next Sunday, which is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament reading from Isaiah 55, the Epistle from Romans 9, and the Holy Gospel from Matthew 14. We've said for quite a long time that a lot of the readings that we look at, in fact, almost every week, there appears to be a portion of the reading that contradicts Lutheran theology. What do I mean by that? I mean that you read the text and it seems to contradict some part of the confessions of Lutheran theology. For example, does anybody think that you can buy your way into the kingdom of God? No. Lutheran theology makes it very clear that we're saved by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. So what do you do with the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 55, verse 1, where it says, "To those who thirst, come buy and eat." And then it says, "Come buy wine and milk. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" Well, is there anything that we can buy in order to get into the kingdom of God? Because our thirst is that we need help from our sins. Sometimes the contradiction is resolved simply by reading the context, and that will occur right now, but it will make even less sense when you read the context. Let me read what I just read, but the entire verse. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now, if that doesn't sound ridiculous, I don't know what does. It could be that you would say, "Come, anyone who has no money, and you will be given water, wine, and milk without any cost." But then you wouldn't say that they're buying it. You know, you got to be really careful with sales. We received a brochure in the mail from a McDonald's that is not far from our home, and they have redone the McDonald's, made it into a nicer building. They're even going to be serving tables and this sort of thing. And then they were a whole list of sales for not just August, but for September and October. And of course, my eyes glanced right away where it says free drinks. And I said, "Ooh, that's pretty good." Until you took a look at the small print with the purchase of a sandwich. Now, those sandwiches sometimes are $3, $4, and they're going to give you a free drink or free French fry. It's not really free. It really bothers me on the television. They'll be selling a flashlight, $19. But if you phone in right now, you can get the second one for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Wait a minute, that's not free then. You know what handling can refer to? It can be about $15. So just pay the second price for the second flashlight and you'll get a free one. No, you won't. It will cost you shipping, it will cost you handling, etc. So here we have in the Bible that God says that we need to buy, but it is for those who have no money. That seems like a contradiction of common sense. And that's what we say a lot of times. The Bible just doesn't seem to make any common sense. For example, yesterday we preached on the parable about the treasure in the field. Now, here's this gentleman who finds treasure in the field. He sells all that he has in order to buy that field and get that treasure. And the parable begins with, "And the kingdom of heaven is like treasure." Now, here's where the problem is. That understanding of the parable assumes that the treasure is the kingdom of heaven, and that we can buy our way into it by selling all that we have. I've often said, if you always want to find a place that contradicts Lutheran theology, look up a theological question on Wikipedia. And so in the sermon yesterday, I quoted, I think, four sections from the internet that were telling us that, yes, we need to give up everything. And what were they saying we needed to give up? We needed to give up our sins. We needed to give up being around sinful companions. I mean, this is ridiculous. This obviously contradicts Lutheran theology that says we're saved by grace through faith. And what we did in the sermon is we showed how this was a parable. And a parable never really talks about the item it's talking about. Like if the parable is about fishing, it's not talking about fishing, or sheep, it's not talking about sheep. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is the Holy Christian Church. For example, in Luke 15, the kingdom of heaven is like a lost sheep. Oh, really? That's what the kingdom of heaven is? Like a lost sheep? No, you need to read the whole parable to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a lost sheep that was found by a shepherd who put it on his shoulders and returned it home. That's the parable. And that's what happens in the kingdom of heaven. And who's the shepherd? None other than Jesus. Similarly, with the man who finds the treasure, the kingdom of heaven is not the treasure. In fact, the Old Testament reading even made note that God's treasure is his holy people. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found treasure in a field, sold all that he had in order to buy that field. That's not you and me. We don't have enough to sell in order to give God something that he needs. We don't need to look to God and say, "Oh, look it. Look how much I have done for you." So therefore, I'm worthy to be put into the kingdom of heaven. I'm worthy to be adopted? Makes no sense at all. So who is this man who finds a treasure, which are the people of God, hidden in the world? Well, Christians are really hidden in the world. A lot of people say there's no difference between Christians and unbelievers because they both are sinners, which is correct. We even confess on a Sunday morning our sin is such that it deserved nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So don't give me a song and dance that we're able to get rid of our sins in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. What really causes us to fear God is not that we have sins, but that we ought to be punished for these sins. In the day that you sin, you will surely die. That's where the fear of God comes in. So guess who is the man who gives up everything for the treasure? The man is like the shepherd in the lost sheep. It's Jesus. Jesus gave up everything. In fact, if you've gone through Lutheran catechism on the small catechism and had it memorized, that's part of the meaning of the second article, that we were bought not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. See, this totally changes, but I challenge you to find anywhere on the internet where that interpretation of the parable is given, that Jesus is the man. I only know two locations where that is found. And one of them was a professor from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, that I attended. An excellent article he does just on that one passage, showing that Jesus is the man. This is why you need a pastor who's not only trained in the original Hebrew and Greek, but has had some years of training in theology at the feet of scholars who know not only the Hebrew and the Greek, but also how to distinguish between law and gospel, and also how to touch the Reformation principles of salvation by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. So with that kind of background, we can go back to Isaiah 55 and say, okay, this makes no sense that we are to buy water, wine, and milk when we have no money. Without money, without price. Oh, whoa. Did you hear that? That the water, the wine, and the milk is without price. Now that's free. How do we understand this? How do we buy something when it not only has no price, but we have no money? Well, we need to look at the context. Verse 2. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Oh, okay. What we're dealing with is kind of like a metaphor. The way we get something that we really desire is we can usually pay for it. But now, what God is saying through Isaiah in chapter 55, verse 2, is that we're spending what we have for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy. That is referring to those who think that by obedience to the law, they can earn their way to heaven. They could be spending their money, maybe even at a worship service of some nature, thinking thereby that, boy, now I'll get a lot more blessings because look how much money I'm giving. But that's not proper bread. There can be stale bread. In fact, that did happen even with the manna. Remember, God instructed them to pick up sufficient bread for each day and not to pick up more from Sunday through Friday. Because those who picked up more manna, when they woke up the following morning, it was stale. Except for the manna they picked up Friday. Then they were told, pick up a double amount. Because thou shalt not work on the Sabbath, which was Saturday, and you'll have stuff left over from Friday. So, of course, you know what many of the Jews did? They picked up double amounts Sunday through Friday. It became rotten. So on Friday, they didn't pick up a double amount, and then they were surprised there was no manna on Saturday. Yeah, that's the kind of chosen people that God chose, because he didn't want to give the impression that his chosen people earned their way into becoming chosen. But I still haven't answered the question. What does it mean to buy and eat when you don't have any money and there is no price on the item? Well, without price is a big Reformation principle that we are saved by grace. In other words, we get the benefits of salvation not because we deserve it, not because we've purchased it, not because we've earned it or merited it, but because of God's gracious attitude toward us. But how do we therefore drink the water and the wine and the milk without money, without price? Listen diligently to me, verse 2 continues, and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Now you can't get more rich food than salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and many promises. But if we don't have any money, how do we therefore buy and eat that which is appropriate? Verse 3 is our answer. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that's H-E-A-R, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. If I was going to preach this as a sermon at Trinity Orchard Farm this coming Sunday, which I'm not, I'm going to be doing another text. But if I were, the title would be Eat with Your Ears. Eat with your ears. Yes. In fact, we even have a prayer in a liturgy. It's an older liturgy where we talk about when we hear the word of God, we digest it. What does that mean? We take it within ourselves. We believe it. We hold fast to it. You see, God's word comes through words. Not only did God create the entire universe through words, let there be light, there was light. Let there be animals, let there be plants, let there be human beings. And instantly that came about. In the same way that Jesus took water at a wedding, said, let there be wine, and instantly it was wine. So also, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What is Jesus saying? In that verse, he is saying that through hearing the word of God, there will be a clean heart created. It's a heart of faith. This is why it's so important. Remember what Jesus says in How to Make Disciples? First of all, baptism. And that is a free gift. That's coming to the waters, those who have no money. And last week at Trinity Lutheran, we baptized an infant. That infant had not bought anything from God or for God. And yet she was baptized, even though she had no money, she came and she received the gift of salvation. Without money, without price. We remember the Romans passage, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith doesn't come by convincing someone through reason that Christianity is the true religion. No, that's really impossible. Because Christianity is totally unreasonable. Until you have faith, it never makes any sense. Just tell somebody that we're going to go to a restaurant and we're going to buy wine and milk, but we don't have any money. And somebody's going to ask you, how's that possible? What, are they giving it away? It says very clearly, come buy. What does buy mean, therefore, in this context? It means to use our ears to receive the best news the world has ever heard. And that's the news of the gospel. Yeah, you can spend your money and your labor on trying to obey the law in order to make God right with you, in order to appease his wrath or satisfy his anger. But unfortunately, there's nothing you can do in labor or in money to do that, because it is impossible to put the balances correct between sin and righteousness. And because we were unable to do that, God did it for us. That's the reason he became incarnate. Incarnate means he took on human nature. Because only a human can die for a human. And Jesus, becoming a human being, set his face directly to Jerusalem, where he would be crucified for the sins of the world. And he would be forsaken by the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that's because Jesus had your sins upon his shoulders. He paid the price that you and I were unable to do. And now that the price is paid, you can come to the waters of baptism, and you have nothing to buy that from God, and there's no price. Baptism is a free gift. And the fact that we do it to infants shows very clearly that they haven't paid for it, neither have the parents. And that's why the law always says, why are you spending your money for that which is not bread? What are you doing all these works for that which does not satisfy? Well, why do your works never satisfy? Because if you are honest with yourself, you will realize that your works fall short of perfection. Because even if you outwardly do something perfect, like give food to someone who is hungry, you know oftentimes your motivation is out of self-interest. You like people looking at you and saying, boy, what a wonderful person he is. Look, he's helping feed the hungry. I mentioned this last week on 60 Minutes, that television program. They were analyzing children and came to the conclusion that as they grew older, they became more caring towards others. They weren't as selfish. And I simply made the point is that, no, they can't read a person's heart. And as a child grows up, he knows what to say and how to act out of self-interest. And it looks like he's becoming more polite, more caring. But if he is an unbeliever, he is only doing it out of self-interest. The Christian child also can do it through power of the Holy Spirit because he really does care for people. But even there, the old Adam will never have the right motivation in doing the outwardly good work. So the world can't understand it. And the world talks about free things on the radio, but when you look more closely, you either have to buy something else to get the free thing, or if you're getting two free things for the price of one, you're still paying additional shipping and handling that comes pretty close to the original price. But in Christianity, there is no price, like there is in every other religion of the world. Outside of Christianity, they're telling you to spend your money from God's point of view for that which is not bread. And they're telling you to work good works for that which God knows will not satisfy. Instead, recognize that the gifts of salvation are totally free. And they're available for every person. That's why we can say to even an unbeliever, your sins have been forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because through faith in trusting the promise of the forgiveness of sins, that becomes yours. You can still deny what Jesus did and therefore not receive that gift. But the gift is still available. As I was told by a pastor, every now and then you hear something that just don't forget. There's nobody who is unsavable. And if you think of a certain man named Saul, who was responsible for the murder of Christians, who became an apostle to the Gentiles, you begin to understand there's nobody who's unsavable. And so we never give up on our children, never give up on our spouse, on our relatives, on our friends, on our neighbors, on our co-workers. When we have the opportunity, we share the best message with them, get them the kind of help that's needed, and let the Holy Spirit work on them. Because we are successful when we are faithful to the Word of God, not when we're successful in bringing a person to faith. Or else you'd have to say Jesus was a failure in light of Judas. No, that was Judas's fault. He rejected the message, even though he heard it from the master himself for 3 years. And that's why it is just so amazing that when a little girl just a few months old, is baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, she receives that even though she has no money, because it is without price. On tomorrow, we're going to be taking a look on how to defeat death by what you eat. It'll be with Mark Smith. I'm Tom Baker. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.